The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, listen up, everybody. Even though my classes stopped a couple weeks ago, and I praise the Lord for that, no offense to my students, but one of the classes that I teach is the Constitution and civics. Okay, I've been teaching that for 10 years. And you run into all kinds of things that, with a bunch of teenagers, you would expect them to be somewhat ignorant of what's in the Constitution and how our civics system is supposed to work, how it was designed to work, how it's working today, how it isn't working today. And where does the power lie? And sometimes people, we're a democracy. Well, actually, no, we aren't. And you don't want to live under a pure democracy. That's not a good thing. You don't want to be there, especially if you're in the minority in one way or another. And then, of course, when we talk about amendments, people usually can't even tell you how many there are. There's 27. And the last amendment, the last one passed during the Clinton administration, the 27th Amendment, was actually suggested not long after the Constitution was written itself. Isn't that funny? And the reason that one took so long to pass is because it was all about pay raises for Congress. The deal was, when you guys give yourselves a pay raise, it doesn't go into effect until after the next election. Wow, that's a pretty good idea. So if you idiots up there give yourself a 35% pay raise as the economy tanks like it is today, then you're gonna know what we think about that in the next election before you can touch that money. That was proposed way back in the late 1700s, didn't pass until the 1990s. And so constitutional amendments, it is possible to amend the U.S. Constitution, although not easily because the people are fickle and you don't want to throw it around. Well, kind of like we've done with the impeachment process. That's now a political process. And you can bet your bottom dollar there's a decent chance once Congress changes in November that next year you might see an impeachment of Joe Biden. Because it's become a political process. Okay, the same thing just about happened with the Supreme Court. When you get a leaker and then all of a sudden you can pressure the Supreme Court and now it's another part of the political world and you can bring public pressure to bear. And so that's a little problem that can occur. One of the things that's beautiful about the Constitution is that it does provide us for ways to deal with the country when Congress and our elected officials refuse to do so. And one of the great little caveats in the Constitution is something called the Convention of States. That's where we, the people, via our elected officials at the state level, can actually go around Congress in order to amend the U.S. Constitution. Now, why would you want to amend the U.S. Constitution? Do you need a 28th, a 29th, perhaps even a 30th amendment to the U.S. Constitution? I would say yes, and many other people would as well. ConventionofStates.com is the website. If you've never heard of it before, make sure you're paying attention. ConventionofStates.com, Convention of States Action here in North Carolina, big freedom rally, which I'll have the privilege of being the MC next Wednesday, June 8th, downtown. We're going to talk about that as well from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Joy Ruman is here. She's the state director for North Carolina. And Simon Percival, who's definitely not from North Carolina. Welcome to the studio, you two. It's great to see you. How are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah, great.
You're wondering who goes first when I ask an open-ended question?
We'll just have to figure it out.
Right. It's just whoever feels like going first.
Whoever wants to go first.
But for people that don't understand anything about the organization Convention of States, and Simon, what's your role in the Convention of States, by the way?
So within the organization in North Carolina, Joy is the state director, and I am one of the regional directors. Regional captains is a more accurate term for it. And we have nine regions in the state now, so there's nine of me. Around the state, and I serve the capital area region.
Right here in the Triangle
area. I am.
And then, Joy, what's your role? And then let's talk about Convention of States and Convention of States Action.
Well, I'm the state director, so the buck stops here with me. I just kind of coordinate the things that need to be coordinated to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, and I try to find more volunteers. Simon and the people he works with and at the regional level do a lot of that.
Yeah.
I work really closely with a regional director who's part of our staff, and we just are doing everything we can to get a resolution passed through the North Carolina Senate now to call for a convention.
And this is not just a North Carolina intervention. It's not just a North Carolina effort. This is a nationwide effort. So tell us about Convention of States, just the organization.
Okay. I will give a little bit of information, and we'll let Simon do that.
Okay.
Because he's in a very unique position because he actually works on the national staff.
Cool.
He doesn't like me to tell people that. But in any event, it's a fabulous national organization. We'll talk about this, I'm sure, more. We've passed the resolution in 19 states, and we've got grassroots in every state. I think we have a state director in every state, for
we
sure.
Do.
And have volunteer teams all across the country. I think I saw the other day there's about 143 active volunteers with the organization, 43,000 active volunteers for the organization. And we're working to save our republic, save our Constitution using our Constitution.
So when did this Convention of States organization come into being? Because I know Mark Meckler's involved. Mark Meckler I met several years ago. He was one of the people that was involved with the startup of the Tea Party and Tea Party Patriots. But in terms of Convention of States, Simon, when did it actually start, the organization?
Right. So Mark Meckler got together with Michael Farris as co-founders of Convention of States as part of an organization called Citizens for Self-Governance. So COS Action, Convention of States Action, is a project of the Citizens for Self-Governance.
Got it.
So we're not – it's a great organization in that sense. So it started off with the two of them. I think they had 5 employees within the first 6 months, and then 15 people had signed the petition by the end of the year.
Yeah.
That was like 2013. So 9 years later, we're looking at, you know, 5 million plus supporters. Wow. And as Joy said, tons and tons of volunteers.
And what was the goal from the get-go?
The goal from the get-go is to get 34 states to sign – sign a resolution applying to Congress for a convention of states using the same language. There have been 400 applications for a convention of states since the founding of our great country. But none of those 400, or no 34 of those 400, had matching text. That's the key.
Yeah, and so if you can pull off actually pulling together constitutionally a convention of states, then what would be the goal? Because that's all about new amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
It is. But I like to think of it better as more of a national conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What a convention is 50 states sending delegations of people, however many.
Yeah.
They get one vote per state on anything that's coming out of convention. And having that conversation, which you know is going to be wall-to-wall covered on every C-SPAN channel and elsewhere.
That's right.
Which is unique because there is precedent for a convention involving multiple states. We've had 39 of them in recorded history. Some of them included – my favorite one was the Washington Convention of 1861 to try and avert the Civil War.
Yep.
But so we know how to do this. But I think that I can't imagine anything more galvanizing for a divided
nation than
50 state delegations getting together and say, hey, how do we fix this?
Yeah, to actually have a conversation that is the we the people rather than those the elites up in Washington, D.C. We're here with Convention of States. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today talking to Joy Ruman, who's the State Director for Convention of States here in North Carolina, Simon Percival, also one of the regional directors, a regional captain, as well as working on the national level for Convention of States. The website, conventionofstates.com. We also have a Freedom Rally coming up next Wednesday, a week from today, here in Raleigh, downtown, 300 North Salisbury Street. Is the Halifax Mall, is it in
it
front of
Halifax
it?
Mall.
It's the Halifax Mall right behind
on
the
Halifax
legislature.
Mall.
Okay, so that's next Wednesday, June 8th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to be talking about the Freedom Rally because we want all of you to be there. And why are we doing that? What's going on here in the state of North Carolina? We're partially there, but haven't crossed the finish line. That's an interesting political question. Why in the world would our state legislature not want to take part in the Convention of States? We'll talk about that. And then generally, what are we going to do? And Simon, you were talking about having a national conversation to get these states involved and just have the conversation about are there some ways that we might want to amend the U.S. Constitution and to go around. Why do we want to go around Washington, D.C.? I know the answer to this for myself. But for you guys, why do we need to go around Washington, D.C.? They're not going to amend the Constitution. They can't because it's so divided there. Nothing's going to happen. There's no way they could get it done in Congress.
George Mason put it perfectly 2 days before the end of the convention in 1787. He got up and he said, gentlemen, I think we've made a mistake. We've given the Congress the power, all the power in the world to change the Constitution, but we've given none to the people. And the remarkable part about that, because you've got to remember in a three-month convention in the swamps of what is now D.C., well, it's still a swamp, but I mean it was an actual swamp.
Actual swamp.
Was that they argued about everything.
Yeah.
Right? There was no agreement on just about every topic, and there was basically a vote and, you know, the majority won. Mm-hmm. So this came up. Not only was there no argument, it actually was recorded by Madison as being presented non-dis, meaning no discussion.
No, yeah.
And
no.
Unanimously approved 2 days before the end of the convention. That's why it's here, because they recognized, as we all recognize now, that if we don't give all the power we can to the people, the federal government will become tyrannical.
Yeah, and that's where the whole notion of federalism, which was baked into the cake early on, they knew they were creating what had the potential to be Frankenstein.
Right.
And if you're going to enable Frankenstein to be strong and have a ravenous appetite, you better have a way of kind of dealing with Frankenstein, or he's going to turn around and eat you, which is exactly what's been happening with the federal government
ever since.
And the death of federalism, which I would say began pretty much with the Civil War and then World War One, and then the Great Depression and then World War II, all these things where the federal government's assuming more and more power and authority over us.
Yeah, Marbury versus Madison didn't help either.
No, not at all. When you go to the Supreme Court, and again, you're centralizing more and more power for the feds and taking it away from us. What has to happen? Just give people a lesson of what has to happen in order to call a convention of states.
We need 34 states to pass our resolution.
And that would be the state legislatures.
That's correct.
Does it have to be signed by the governor?
No.
That's so important.
No part of this process involves the state governor.
Nor Congress.
Why are we so excited about that fact?
Well, because we don't think our governor would sign that.
Or any governor.
Or any governor.
I don't think any governor should have the right to put down. If you have a state that wants to be a part of Convention of States,
that's a true statement.
No single individual sitting in an executive branch should be able to look all those people in the face and say, sorry, you can't have what you want.
That's right.
That's right. That is exactly
so,
right.
So Cooper's in North Carolina has nothing to do with this process.
Nothing whatsoever. It
and
is
so
just
once
our
you
state
get,
legislatures.
Is it 34 states? Once you get 34 states.
Two-thirds.
34 states.
Mm-hmm. So they say, okay, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Then they actually literally have a convention.
That's correct.
Well, actually, what happens is that Congress, through the archivist, which we've recently learned they don't actually have one that's monitoring this, Congress, and it says in the Constitution, the only role of Congress is once they recognize they have received applications from two-thirds of the states, they shall call a convention, the name, the time, and place.
Right.
That's it. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you have a convention, and then what would happen?
Well, that's the beauty. Each state in turn will have its own process for determining who will be sent as delegates. We call them commissioners, but they're really delegates that are sent with a commission. The commission will reflect, this is what you're doing, representing your state, our state, and these are our guidance. The applications that are being signed around the country, and soon hopefully in North Carolina, cover three subject areas. One is term limits. One is fiscal restraint and then federal overreach in general.
All three things that Congress would never do in a
million years.
Which is the point, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. And if I may add, on the term limits, we're not just talking about Congress.
Yep.
Okay? We're talking about the federal bureaucracy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the judiciary.
Yeah.
Nobody was ever intended, under the terms of the founding of this country, to go spend a lifetime working for the government. Nobody.
Because it was never intended that these would be people that would become professional politicians. This is somebody
absolutely
that's going to make a big sacrifice, leave your life, leave your income, leave all this stuff behind to go serve for a minimum amount of time. Washington's the perfect example. And then get out of there and get back to your life. Mm-hmm. But I'll do my duty, not dissimilar from being a member of the military.
That's
I want to serve and do my duty, and then I want to go back home.
Right. That's exactly right.
But not anymore. Not when you make $160,000 a year and get all the other perks.
Especially the other perks.
Yeah.
Especially the other perks.
Or $417,000 like somebody.
Yeah.
Know.
Oh, well, that would be the highest paid federal employee out there, which would be Dr. Pope Fauci, as I call him.
Pope Fauci.
Is the highest paid federal employee, makes more than the president. And if that doesn't make you throw up in your mouth a little bit, then something's wrong with you.
That's exactly
so
right.
So what are some of I know there's been some concerns, some people that are anti-convention of the states. What's their problem with it, with the idea?
Oh, we've heard a lot of different things. One of the things we hear is you can't trust the delegates. One legislator who has been a hard no from the beginning, voted against the senator in North Carolina who voted against it in 2017.
By the way, I have no problem with you naming names on here if you want to. That's up to you.
That would be Senator Bill Rabin.
Okay, thank you.
Out of Senate District 8 down in Wilmington, Pender County, Brunswick, Pender. Oh, Bladen. There's a fourth one. Counties. He has said several things. He just doesn't trust anybody to go to the convention. Not anybody. I don't.
That's not really the way this country is supposed to work.
Yeah. No.
You don't trust the people?
No.
But think how crazy that is. We send congressmen to D.C. who do this
yes.
all day, every day, every year. But yeah. we can't send a separate group of people who are like-minded
yeah.
to do it.
We can't
properly.
Have regular folks that are concerned come yeah. together.
And they don't think that they can control them. Okay? They don't. It's like they don't understand the idea of commissioning someone to do what you're expecting them to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, right.
And that's the whole definition of commissioning somebody. You mm-hmm. outline what it is you expect them to do. And our resolution is very clear. It has the three items that Simon mentioned.
This is what we're going to talk about.
This is all we're going to talk about. If there's anything else that's brought forward at that convention, it is not germane to the conversation. It yeah. should be stopped.
Yeah, so those are the guardrails that are on there.
Yeah.
And
the first of many.
Right. And then people have to remember that's part of the process. And then if you actually agreed, let's say we have a term limit amendment that we're going to put in place. What do we do with that? What happens next?
Well, it has to pass a majority of the states at the convention, and you presume that all 50 of them are going to show up.
So yeah.
you've got to get 26 votes from the states at the convention. Every state gets one vote. Then it comes back to the state legislatures, and it has to pass 38 of our current state legislators.
Yeah.
It's three-fourths of the state legislators have to ratify it, and that's when it becomes law.
And at that point, I think one of the important things to remember here, Simon, is that it has the force of public opinion. One of the chapters that I teach in my civics class is all about public opinion in public policy mm-hmm. and how public opinion, more often than not, can drive public policy. That the government will pay attention if enough people, and if it's a subject that's germane to enough people, they're going to pay attention. And that reminds me of Ronald Reagan. Either you make them see the light or you make them feel the heat. It's one or the other. So the Convention of States would actually do both. We're talking to Joy Ruman and Simon Percival from Convention of States. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Were you a big fan of former President Trump's desire to drain the swamp? Do you look at Congress and D.C. as a whole and basically look at it as a swamp, even though literally that's what it used to be, and then it kind of rose out of the swamp? Now it sounds like a monster movie, doesn't it? And so today, Washington, D.C. is completely out of control. They are very detached from our regular lives down here. At the local level, whether you're here in Raleigh or Charlotte or Asheville or Greenville, South Carolina, wherever you're listening from, they're very, very detached. They go up there. I've spent a lot of time in D.C. I've been in Senate offices. The place is intoxicating, and I can completely understand how it's going to warp and twist most of the people that go up there. and our founding fathers understood that, and eventually, as Simon Percival was talking about earlier, said, hey, what about a way for the people to go around Congress in order to enact a change to the U.S. Constitution? That's what the Convention of States is all about, as a way for us to be able to do that. So that we get enough people from enough states to say we're going to do this on our own, and it impels the country to do it. There you have to go.
And I want to reinforce something that Simon said.
Sure, please. We're talking to Joy Ruman, by the way, who's the state director here in North Carolina.
I want everybody to think about how providential George Mason's statement was. Mm. He stood up just 2 days before they finished that convention and said, we've made a mistake. And I think that's – I know that God was –
yeah.
His fingerprints all over that. He was mm-hmm. his fingerprints all over the founding of our country. But while that, because if they hadn't done it, we would all be stuck right now.
Right, right. You would have no power there.
That's right.
When it comes to amending the U.S. Constitution.
Now we have power.
And everything would have to start in D.C., which D.C. loves.
Of course.
But our founding fathers understood. And praise the Lord for that. Two days beforehand, they're like, oops.
That's
if
right.
we're talking about empowering the people, we want a limited federal government, but an expansive, independent state system.
That's the way it was designed.
Then you're going to have you're going to take this checks and balances thing all the way through the system. What about the amendment process? And that's what Convention of States is all about. So what are some states where it's gone swimmingly, and why isn't North Carolina one of them?
I'll let Simon start with that.
Yeah, so North Carolina is an interesting history. Oh. We've been at this now for 8 years, I guess. Yeah, pretty much since the get-go. And we had a pretty pliable Senate that they passed it fairly easily in two separate sessions. When we went to pass it again with them in the third session, each time we didn't get it through the House. And then so you have to repeat the process in every
right.
legislative cycle till both houses pass. Well, the House never passed it. So finally the Senate said, hey, don't come back here until you can get the House to pass it. So in 2021, we introduced it on the House floor in March.
Well,
and
we went through 2018-19
oh, yeah,
without
right.
the House even –
Looking at it. Yeah.
Or maybe they introduced it. We didn't make it to the crossover day.
So you mentioned one senator.
Right.
Yes.
Which was, what's his name?
His name is Senator Bill Rabin.
Out on the East Coast.
Yep.
Right? He's out on the coast.
Out in the Wilmington.
So what's with our elected representatives here in North Carolina, some in the Senate, some in the House, that they have a problem with empowering the people? What's their beef with that?
They don't think they can control the process. That's mm-hmm. one of their reasons. Another one that I find really fascinating, we've heard from a couple of three new people, is North Carolina is going to be a completely blue state in the next 10 years. We don't want to be a part of conventions. That's going to happen. Well, if you don't believe in those political that political part process, what are you doing to stop that?
Right.
It's like they're
you've already
up
given
their
yourself
hands.
Over to that.
That's yeah. exactly that's what it sounds like to us. That's what it sounds
that's
like.
That's ridiculous. Simon, what were you going to say?
No, I'm just going to run off that point and say maybe if they were a little more diligent about election integrity, they wouldn't have to worry about 10 years. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, so as far as North Carolina went, we blew it in 2019, didn't get anything done. And then, of course, COVID hit in 2020, but we still managed to get introduced into the 2021 session. I might add that every single state in the union has, in every legislative cycle, introduced a resolution. Mm. As legislation,
yeah.
except for Connecticut, go figure. Even Hawaii.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so in 2021, we got it on the floor of the House in March, and we got it passed in May, and that was the last time we had a rally out there, by the way, and we're hoping we'll get that same
yeah,
good luck again.
Next week.
And, of course, like I said, the Senate has passed it twice before, and we thought, hey, we did what you asked. Here it is.
Right.
And they've been sitting on it now since May of 2021.
And so why are they sitting on it?
Well, Berger has told us very clearly. I love to share this story. He told two people at a fundraiser that are COS supporters that his caucus, other Republican senators don't. There's four or five of them, though he won't tell us that number. We know it's four or five. That there's actually eight that won't pass it. But he said they don't want it to come to the floor because they don't want to vote no. Because if they vote no, you will know they don't support it.
Right.
And you will primary them.
Yeah. You got them on the record.
Well, and let me tell you, it thrills me to pieces that they know that we now have the grassroots to do that. I want to push back on something Simon said. In 2019, when we couldn't do anything because we didn't have anything to do, we did do something.
Yeah.
We built the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
Our petition signers are about to double since I got involved in at the end of 18.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
2018 to 2022, by the end of 2022, we're going to have doubled that number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we've got a leadership team with 14, 15 people. I can't even remember how many it always is, even though I lead that team. We've got 500 active volunteers. and we actually, in terms of getting through the Senate this year, I just received today, prepared by our national organization, a list of everything we did to help in the current primary. Mm-hmm. And that information is going to be written up in a nice little email and sent to the members of the North Carolina Senate so they know we are a force to be reckoned with.
So people across North Carolina and whatever state they're in, because we have people listening in Virginia and South Carolina and Utah and a couple other states, how do they get involved with the convention in the states? I want to start that first. How do they sign up? How do they get on in the email stream? Whatever. They volunteer. How do they get involved?
www.conventionofstates.com. You sign our petition. If you'd like to get involved, we'd love for you to take action. There's a tab for taking action on the homepage. You can sign up to be a district captain, one of our most important roles, because you're the person who coordinates activities at the local level. You're the person who, in that role, builds the relationship with the legislator and so forth, both the House member and the Senate, but we do it by House district. We have social media warriors. We have people who write articles. There's any role that you can think of, we probably have that role in convention states. And
do you have
all outlined on that webpage.
Do you have an easily accessible area where people can see what states have passed it already?
We do.
We do. We have a progress map.
Okay, so the progress map. How do I find that? Do you know how I find that on the website? I'm looking at it right now.
Well, actually, I usually go to the search thing and just put progress map in it.
Under
resources?
It's under resources, but I just search for it.
Okay, got it. All right, so I'll put links up to that so you can all see what states have and what states haven't.
Yep.
If you're in a state that hasn't, like North Carolina, what can they do?
What can we do to help? Call their senator right now.
Because the House has passed it.
That's right.
So we need the Senate.
We need the Senate. Yep.
And call your senator and ask them what?
Just tell them that you support the convention of states and you demand that they pass it.
we ask that be very specific. Say, we want you to pass HJR 233 before you adjourn for the summer. HJR 233. Steve, are you aware of what the North Carolina Senate's primary objectives are for the short session in 2023?
Enlighten me.
Medicaid expansion, medical marijuana, and online sports gambling.
Wow, those like top the list of what I was thinking about for the state
Absolutely.
Of North Carolina. What? Is that just special interest driven? Is that what's going on there? That's a little obtuse.
Well, it's very interesting that at least two of those are pet projects of certain Senator Bill Rayburn, who happens to be the chair of the Rules Committee, where all legislation he doesn't like goes to die.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That when the committees are controlled by the wrong person, stuff goes there and just that's dies because right. they don't want it out. Same thing happens in D.C. Yeah.
I had one of our senators tell me at a fundraiser recently that he does not think that the Rules Committee should be chaired by one individual. It should be a committee of three.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That's a good idea.
All right, so senators that need to be on the hot seat. So we've talked about Bill Rabin. Mm-hmm.
Kathy Harrington in the Gastonia area is a hard no. The Rabin, Kathy Harrington.
Rabin's a Republican.
These are all Republicans.
That's lovely.
Okay, we don't have any yes.
Kathy Harrington.
She is the House Majority Leader, and she's a hard no. She voted no in 2017. And Tom McGinnis in Anson County, I can't remember his Senate district number, but he's a hard no. He just recently spoke to some of our volunteers and said again, even though he said, y'all all make good points, I'm just not going to do this. So we can't even get a why out of him.
Yeah.
We have four others, but I can only think of three all the time. One is and these people are not hard no's.
Yeah.
They just will not commit. And their favorite phrase to any of their supporter is, I will vote yes if it goes to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, of course.
But I don't want to go to the floor.
Right.
That's right.
They're not going
to
fight for it to get it there.
We've been told that they are saying in their caucus, something you're not supposed to know what they talk about
right.
in the caucus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we've been told that they have said, please do not let this thing go forward because we don't want to have to vote yes.
All right, well, on the break, we'll figure out these other names because I want everybody to know what their names are.
I've got a place I can go look
at. And then here's the challenge for all of you and me and everybody else that's a part of the show is, do you even know who represents you? Okay, it starts that. So we can sit there and point our fingers at the state legislature, at senators, as members of the House. But if you don't even know, you can't even find out who represents you. You're part of the problem.
Just Google North Carolina Find Your Legislator.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. Who are my legislators in North Carolina? There's several websites that'll point you to it. And then you can get that, put it on your phone, keep it on your phone so you know who you need to deal with when things like this come up. We're going to keep talking about Convention of the States, specifically here in North Carolina, and the big rally next Wednesday. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about Convention of the States today and what you can do to be involved, especially for those of you that are here in North Carolina like I am, as well as Joy Ruman is with us today. She's the state director for Convention of States, and Simon Percival, who's a state captain, as well as works on the national level. And coming up next Wednesday, the Freedom Rally downtown on Halifax Mall. That's the big grassy area, not the grassy knoll. The grassy area behind the legislative building, where I've been many, many times for lots of different rallies, and the Freedom Rally next Wednesday, June 8th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Convention of States action is setting that up. Tell me about the rally, Joy. What's going on there, and why is it important?
Oh, it's critical because, we want 1,000 people there. 1,000 people. If we get 1,000 people there, that could get our resolution.
Because that tells members, in this case, of the Senate, the state Senate, that there's momentum here and there's
Absolutely.
People paying attention.
And we had 300 people show up at our April 21st rally last year, which was the largest, and I still think the largest rally COS has ever had. Mm. But we are doing everything in our power.
Yeah.
We've got other grassroots working to get people there. We're here talking to you to get people there. We need people to show up. And we've got an amazing event happening. We have Mark Meckler, our founder, is going to be one of our speakers. Jonathan Uzcategui, I think I'm saying his last name
right. That sounds right.
He is an American by choice, but a Venezuelan by birth. Mm. So he's going to kick off our discussion, talking about what it was like to be in Venezuela when they fell to the communists. And then we'll have Mark Meckler. We've got Rick Green, who runs an organization called Patriot Academy. Mm-hmm. We've probably got 2,000 or 3,000 people in North Carolina who've gone through one of his classes with people who teach it here. And our key note, our main headliner, is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we've got that. We've got videos we'll be sharing. We've got, I'll even tell your radio audience, Pete Hegseth has recorded a message for us specifically for this rally.
That's the guy in Fox, right?
The guy in Fox. And Rick Santorum, who is a retired senator, who is a senior advisor to COS, and he would have come to our rally, but he had already had a commitment that day. That's how we ended up getting Alan West and Rick Green, I think. So it's going to be a spectacular day. We've got, again, a 16-foot LED wall coming in. I don't think there's ever been anything like this at Halifax Mall, what we're doing.
But again, it's the importance of it is just to have a showing there, a significant showing, so that members, in this case, of the North Carolina State Senate realize that there's some momentum here. The grassroots is activated. We're paying attention. We're engaged.
That's right.
If you don't have people show up, then they just brush you off.
That's right.
I've done it enough times. I know.
Yeah. We've got to get the people there.
I mean, we had 3,000 people down there in 2005 for a marriage amendment rally, and they just were whistling Dixie and finishing their lunch. It made no difference to them. But that's because it was controlled by the Democrats. Now it's controlled by the Republicans.
And
these are
their
people.
That's right.
And you'd like to think they would be responsive to their people.
You would like to think so.
Which is the whole point of Convention of the States in the first place, be responsive to the people.
Yes,
so I wanted to ask, and we were talking about this off the air on the break, do we assume, Simon, that just because a state is blue, that they'll have no interest in Convention of the States?
No, we don't. And there is momentum in some of the strangest places. Massachusetts recently, for example, one of their legislative committees actually passed the resolution out of committee. So
Was it 11 Democrats voting?
In Massachusetts.
11 to 3, I think, with all Democrats voting.
Yeah, because there's other states where it's kind of up in the air right now, where it's past one chamber like North Carolina. You got Virginia, Iowa, South Dakota, New Mexico, and then New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of in play.
Mm-hmm.
And then other states where there's actually legislation that hasn't passed yet, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, New York, Maine, Vermont tucked up in there. And then New Jersey is also in there, and Maryland as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of activity here.
Every state that hasn't already passed it except for Connecticut.
Yeah. And then the states that, like California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, are you guys actively pursuing that as well?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Because you want everybody to be a part of the conversation.
Absolutely. I'll throw in that my brother-in-law suddenly called me the other day and said, I went to a district captain meeting. My brother-in-law's never been involved in anything in his life. And he's a Californian.
Yeah,
and he says to me, can you order me some of those palm carts? And I said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So they're out of California
Dam. So what do you say to the average person that they're like, I didn't know about this, but I certainly think we need to have some more power out here in the States. I certainly believe that we need to be dealing with fiscal restraint. What are the three platforms again? Fiscal restraint, term limits.
And scope and responsibility.
Scope and responsibility.
You want an easy way to remember that?
Sure.
Take away their money, take away their power, send them home.
Oh, that's charming. That just warmed my heart. I just had this, like, I have Chris Matthews kind of buzz feelings going up my back when you say stuff like that. But again, just about everybody. I mean, Congress has some of the lowest approval ratings of anybody.
Right.
Of any institution. Most Americans don't have much faith in Congress at all.
Right.
And so this is a way around them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that's so amazing to me is that legislators in North Carolina in particular, they don't believe that we can have a civil conversation.
Yeah.
It's time to have a civil conversation.
That sounds like Washington, D.C. to me.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It does.
Like, we don't want to allow too many regular folks to get involved with the conversation.
Because we're not smart enough.
Well, yeah, but this country was started by people that believed in regular folks because they were coming out from a monarch.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
They were done with the elite way of life. And so you had farmers and merchants and regular folks.
That's right.
And now you've got leadership consultants and IT consultants and everybody that just we love our country.
Yeah.
We just want to save it.
So we have a few senators, North Carolina State Senators, that are on the hot seat. I just want to make sure we say their names again.
Okay.
So Bill, is it Rabin?
Rabin. Yep.
So Bill Rabin, Kathy Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom McGinnis, they're all a hard no.
No, not never.
So you need to find out who represents you in the North Carolina State Senate. And if it's Bill Rabin, Kathy Harrington, or Tom McGinnis, you give them a call.
Absolutely.
And what do you tell them?
Please change your mind and support HJR 233.
Because?
Because our country is in trouble and we need to take action.
Yeah. The states need to speak over and above Congress.
That's right.
We need a voice. And why would you deny a voice to the people that you say you represent?
That is
right? Isn't that it?
That's how the country
well
was. That's
me.
How the country was created in the first place.
Right.
The states created the federal government, not the other way around.
Thank you very much. And so, and that's coming from a guy that was is from Australia.
There you go.
Who can figure it out better than most Americans? Okay, then you have people that are kind of waffling. So there's a few people: Vicky Sawyer, Brent Jackson, Jim Perry, and Lisa Barnes. Why do you think? What do you mean by they're waffling or they're soft?
Well, they tell us that they will vote yes if it gets to the Senate floor.
If it gets to the floor.
But then they say, oh, please, to their leadership, please don't take it to the
Senate
floor.
But we won't fight for it. But if it gets there, we'll
That's
vote
right.
for it.
That's
now,
right.
there is a difference. I actually want to applaud the people who are doing this. Okay?
Yeah.
In the House, we had voices that spoke up for us. We made a mistake as grassroots, and as state director, I have to take responsibility for some of that. The Senate told us in 2017, you get the House to pass it, we'll pass it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We didn't pay attention to the Senate for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
That was a mistake on our
yeah.
part. Okay? Hindsight's 2020, can't undo that. Mm. But we have got senators who have stepped up now and said, I am going to speak on your behalf. Bob Steinberg from the East, Jim Bergen, we just helped him. He recognizes we helped him. Donnie Loftus is in Kathy Harrington's district as a House member that is all over us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got a group of senators that are now willing to speak up in caucus because they haven't ever done that before. We hope that that's going
to
change.
Yeah, and that's why we need to be involved, the grassroots, and to encourage them, which is to lend courage. You have to encourage people and let them know you're paying attention.
Absolutely.
And every phone call, an email is almost worthless these days.
That's correct.
But a phone call is powerful, and what's more important is to show up in person. That's devastating.
Right. But what's better than a phone call if you can't show up in person?
Write a letter.
It's a handwritten
right.
letter.
Right, handwritten.
Okay, I'll tell you a quick
that
story.
That scares some folks.
Let me tell you a quick story. We had a district captain in our Piedmont region who brought together his first group of people ever to just write notes to Representative John Faircloth. I was regional captain at the time, but I organized a town hall in Wake County at the McKimmon Center, and Representative with Mark Meckler came. Representative Faircloth showed up. He had been a hard no. He stood in line at the end of the line, people waiting to meet Mark Meckler, and walked up to him. Mark's funny when he tells it because he reached into his pocket, and it scared Mark about what he was reaching his pocket for. But he reached into his pocket, and he took 10 letters out and said, I got these from your supporters. Mm. I'm a firm yes.
Yeah.
Just from 10 letters.
10 letters. Because
okay.
one letter writer represents a lot other people.
That's exactly right.
That's the
activist.
That's
the way they look at it.
Yeah.
That's
and that's why it's so important.
It.
So you find out
you
first.
Handwrite it.
Find out first who your North Carolina State Senator is and then call them anyway.
Yes, call them.
And just
handwrite
encourage
them
and write them a note. But especially if it's Bill Rabin, Kathy Harrington, or Tom McGinnis, those are the hard no's. And then the waffle, soft side, is Vicky Sawyer, Brent Jackson, Jim Perry, and Lisa Barnes. Because you're at 21 yeses now.
That's
right.
Correct.
So you get four more, then you're tied, 25-25. And then the lieutenant governor breaks the tie.
Mm-hmm.
And has he agreed to do that?
He has announced that he would.
But I mean, if you go to our website, he is one of our official endorsers.
If you're going to be an official endorser,
you
would hit the yes
exactly
button
right.
if it came down to you and you had to break a tie.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
And I love and appreciate Mark Robinson. But if he doesn't, I don't care who you are.
If you don't do the right thing, you
call them out.
That's exactly right.
If they're on your team.
So if we get to that point and he doesn't do the right
thing, trust
me, we will
sure.
call him out.
Yeah, yeah. And that would need to. So you can work on the soft people and ignore the hard no's. If you can get people like Vicky Sawyer and Brent Jackson and Jim Perry and Lisa Barnes
that's right.
to do the right thing and fight for it and get it out there in order to enable the people so that the people can then deal with their out-of-control federal government. It's pretty simple.
The saddest thing about that list of people, especially the soft-nosed,
yeah.
even the hard-nosed, is they won't even meet with us.
Yeah, they won't even meet with you. You said three things earlier, Simon. What were they? If we want to accomplish this with the Convention of the States, what was it again?
The result would be taking away their money, taking away their power, and sending them home.
Yeah, take away their money, take away their power, send them home when it's time to go home, and don't stay forever, right? That's the whole point. Next Wednesday is the rally downtown. Convention of the States Action is putting that on, the Freedom Rally, Wednesday, June 8th. I'll keep talking about it between now and then. I'll be down there myself, serving as the MC, which is a great pleasure, down at the Halifax Mall behind the legislature. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. next Wednesday, June 8th. Joy and Simon, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
It was a pleasure. Thank
this
you.
Is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.